hard.
Ah! I farted when you made me laugh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Music to Swear By. This is the podcast where I, Tony, invite neighbors into Paul's house to listen to music containing profanity. Neighbor Dave, say hi.
How you doing?
And neighbor Paul, say hi.
I have too much dick fat.
All right. The reason we're at Dick Fat's house.
My dick needs to go on a diet.
Fat dick.
All right, fat. The reason we're podcasting from Dick Fat's house is because we still cannot podcast from my household, from Tony's household. Too many late nights, too many wrecked things in the basement. So we are looking for a new studio. But I think I have worked out a lease agreement, guys. I think I have worked something out with the significant other at home. Lovely wife, Rebecca. If a band comes into the studio, we are then allowed into the studio.
What about for regular shows?
You mean just us shitfucks?
Yeah.
Just us shitfucks and dickfats. We have to find a new place to podcast. And we have an idea for a new studio. Now, Dave, you came up with this idea. What are you thinking?
This is Paul's Dickfats Treehouse. He's got this little shitty little treehouse.
Well, it's not in a tree, though.
It's not a tree. It's a fort.
It's not in a tree. It's up on stilts.
It's a stilt house. It's a Vietnamese stilt house.
Because I'm Dick Fat. P-H-A-T. Dick Fat. Yeah.
And this thing would comfortably fit three people, maybe four, without being too distressed.
Yep.
Of course, a Vietnamese family could sleep 12.
Wait, I measured it. I measured it the other day. It's 8x6. And then last I knew, that's 48 square feet.
Right. Yep. So what we did is we got rid of the wasps that were living in there. We are going to insulate it, soundproof it, and our sound dampen it, if you wanted the correct term. And we're going to podcast in a goddamn stilt house in the backyard. That's what we've been reduced to. Thank you very much. So what do we got this? Hey, you know what we did? We passed up the one-year anniversary of Music to Swear By.
Whoa. When was the one-year anniversary?
July 31st of 2009, we put out our first podcast. Neighbor Brett, wow. Neighbor Dave, and Neighbor Tony in the basement, speaking into the, what was it, the tin
box.
The
glory hole.
The glory hole. Yeah.
Down in your basement?
It was in my... No.
What was that tin box? What do you call it?
Well, it wasn't a tin box. It was a sweater container that I had sound dampened and put the microphone into, and then we spoke into it. And I think we had superior sound compared to Dick Fat's basement. Didn't we?
We did, but it was definitely lame.
I couldn't see you when I was speaking to you. I could only look through the holes in the side of the box.
We're all looking at a big Tupperware thing, and we all had our own hole cut into it.
Yeah, so we passed the one-year anniversary. I mean, what is it now? It's coming in, it's September now.
We have 29 episodes.
This is episode 30 right here.
Hey, there's something to celebrate.
And we've had some highs and lows. And this shit is only getting bigger, all right? Yeah. We are averaging dozens of hundreds of downloads every day, all right? And if you're counting, multiply that shit because it's going to get bigger. So people, thank your lucky P's and Q's that you got in at the ground floor of something that's going to be a fucking phenom, all right?
Keep telling your mothers.
In honor of that, I wanted to break out the Music to Swear By rap that we got from Fiverr.com. Remember it. All right. Cue it up.
Well, you motherfuckers shut the fuck up. Music to Swear By is about to come on. I'm not trying to miss a motherfucking second of this motherfucking show. It's the best on the motherfucking net.
Let's start the show.
This is Music to Swear By. I'ma laugh till I cry, flipping birds to the sky. Looking neighbor Jen in the eye, close over to the dark side. How is illegal, they imply, we say shut the fuck up and enjoy the ride. Neighbor Dave was one hell of a guy, so I tune in every single night, smoking a dude while he improv with the tunes. I smoke till I'm floating across rooms like balloons. This is not for the prudes, we raise a glass and pass the neighbor Dave's ass. Tune in to neighbor Juliet, 15 minutes past the hour. Hope this computer don't crash, I'm not trying to miss out. Grandma's listening with hopes of soap to wash out her mouth. Worthy of his clout, love when the rest of the neighbors come around. Cause it's music to swear by. My name is neighbor Kaza and I'm definitely in the house.
When you wanna step out of the norm, visit musictoswearby.podbean.com for the best interactive radio podcast in a motherfucking world.
Yeah, there we go. So, hey, thank you to Kaiser at Fiverr.com for that fucking awesome rap.
Have you emailed him or corresponded with him since this?
No, I think most people at Fiverr.com realize, like, he put some work into that. Yeah. Now, maybe it was an afternoon, whatever. Is an afternoon worth $5?
No. Well, he probably knows we're going to use it for something. And
true. I don't know if we've quite gotten him famous yet or the creds
probably
he needs.
Not. I think we need to get famous before he gets famous.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even think $5 an hour is minimum wage anymore. Right.
So, hey, music to swear by, happy fucking birthday.
Many more. Oh, yeah.
So, hey, the other weird thing is, I mean, and I guess over the course of the last year, we've gotten 8 or 9 emails, which has been super awesome. But people have been emailing us with shit to talk about on the show, which is kind of nice. Yes. The problem is it's just neighbor Jen and neighbor Julie. So, hey, thank you guys for emailing this crap. Interesting business. Yep. So what I've done is I've brought interesting business for us to talk about. The first one comes from neighbor Julie as a small story. Paul, would you care to read this for me? Out of the Mountain View, California Gazette.
Now is the awkward moment where I have to confess I'm illiterate. Let's see. Where are we? Oh, Mountain View Gazette, Friday. Walmart. Police receive a report of a newborn infant found in a trash can. Upon investigation, officers discover it was only a burrito. Which leads... Shit, re-triggers me to think of a joke. Go ahead. I'm going to tell you. I had a related...
Let's hear your joke, come on.
Coincidentally, I made some dude at work uncomfortable this week when he was talking about, well, first of all, he's got 2 kids, and one of them is like a 7-month-old, and he's been losing sleep. So I've been ribbing him a little bit about, ha, 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 you know, this is real life, this is what it's like having a kid. And then a few minutes later, he was bitching about he and his wife having trouble deciding on a couch. And he was saying, you know, when you get a couch, you know, it's not like you can get rid of it or anything. And I said, yeah, it's a lot easier to get rid of a baby than a couch. Because baby fits in a dumpster a lot easier than a couch does. And the guy just fucking gave me this look like, did you just say that?
Oh, I love it. Awesome. And did you say it by accident or did you just...
No. It just came to me.
Oh, I love it.
And I at work, this one guy, you know, I get along pretty well with him and... But apparently I offended him. Fuck him. Oh, well.
Nice.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so no. The thing with the baby and the burrito. Okay, it doesn't surprise me one fucking bit that somebody going shopping at Walmart is looking in garbage cans. What surprises me is that some fucking poor Walmart bass, somebody poor enough to shop at Walmart, threw a perfectly good burrito in the garbage.
How big
and
is
how
this?
Do you mistake a burrito for a baby?
I don't know. You're dumb as a fucking box of rocks, baby.
Man. It's got to be one of those monster fuckers from that big company that sells burritos that I'm not going to mention because they don't sponsor our show, so I'm not going to give them credit.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Good fuckers. Call.
But those fucking burritos are monstrous, aren't they?
They're true. They're just about the size of a preemie baby, but I'd still much rather eat a burrito than a preemie baby.
I got no joke.
So what's grosser than gross?
I don't know.
10 dead babies in a trash can.
Ooh.
What's grosser than that?
I don't know.
1 dead baby and 10 trash cans.
Oh! Okay, wait. What's easier to unload? A truckload of dead babies or a truckload of bowling balls?
Holy shit.
Bowling balls?
Dude, the dead babies because you can use a pitchfork. All right. Okay, do you guys mind if I change the subject?
Yes, let's move on.
All right. So, hey, speaking of sponsors.
Yes.
I have discovered a new substance in this world.
Yes.
That substance is Jeremiah Weed Sweet Tea. Jesus fucking Christ. This show is not sponsored by Jeremiah Weed Sweet Tea, but I really want this show to be sponsored by Jeremiah Weed Sweet Tea. Because, all right. Oh my God, that business is good. Dave, you've had it, right?
It's good.
What is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Lived on it for the week in Gun Lake.
Yeah, Gun Lake was spot. Oh, man. That Gun Lake was fueled by Jeremiah Weed Sweet Tea.
Is that in your water bottle now?
Actually, what I have here is a drink I have made with Red Bull, Jeremiah Weed Sweet Tea, Svedka vodka and a little bit of water. I call it the Purple Becker. Okay, wait. You want to know why I call it the Purple Becker?
What?
I call it the Purple Becker because you drink a water bottle full of it and you are guaranteed to masturbate twice in the same room, whether anybody's in it or not. All right, so I'm eight. Jeremiah Weed, sweet tea flavored bourbon whiskey and vodka. Please, Jeremiah, have your people call my people.
Why don't we just start doing commercials by them? And you know, then maybe later they'll pay us for it.
That's my tactic. All new marketing campaign. Just pay me back for that shit 2 years later.
This is Music and Swear By. It's brought to you by Jeremiah Weed.
It's like getting your Social Security check for $48,000 2 years after you had your stroke. Pretty much like that. Okay, so I want to get to the last email. And again, this is one that neighbor Julie sent us, all right? Well, his neighbor Julie sent us interesting rock and roll facts. Whitesnake, you guys ever heard of this band?
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Here I Go Again. Apparently, yeah. The video with Tawny Kitaen, whatever, doing cartwheels on the hood. This video was posted to YouTube a year ago and has reached 10 million hits.
Wow.
10 million hits in a year. And I thought...
Dude, you don't remember that video?
No, of course I do. I'm joshing. Okay. I'm a josher. Did you know Tawny Kitaen? Is she the one that Steven Seagal was married to, or is that another woman?
I don't know. All I remember is she was on...
She's a redhead, right?
She was on AFV. She was the sexy girl that they brought in to counteract Bob Saget.
Really?
Yeah, she was on America's Funniest Home Videos back in the 80s.
I didn't know that.
Oh, multiple beat-off sessions. All right, so anyways.
Did you know Bob Saget is like the dirtiest comic
ever? Yes, you should see that fucker in Entourage. His whole gig is he gets a hooker every other day. But his stand-up, have you ever actually seen his stand-up act?
I've seen bits of it, yeah.
He talks about screwing his own daughters. It's terrible. Oh, it's terrible, man. I cannot. Wow. The thing is, it's still not funny. Bob Saget, fuck you, my man.
Fuck you, Bob Saget.
Come on our show, though.
Okay, so anyways, so I was intrigued. I'm like, Whitesnake, man, 10 million hits in a year. Wow. Then I Googled the top YouTube videos ever. The number one most hit on YouTube videos. Anybody want to guess?
Let's see, a guess.
Give me a guess.
Pamela Anderson.
No, Justin Bieber fucking Bieber. Justin Bieber. Now, I don't know who this little douchebag is, but no. So Justin Bieber has had some song on there since February 2010 that has received 310 million hits. Shit. So he's got Whitesnake.
310 million?
Since February of this year.
Now that's the all-time.
That's the leader, at least according to this website that I went to.
So what's number two?
Number two is going to be Lady Gaga with some fucking song where she shows a bunch of legs and pink hair and weird glasses. She's got 270 million hits since November last year.
Okay.
Wow.
Do you guys...
She's beat-offable.
Yeah, much more than Justin Bieber.
If you're gay and like men.
Okay, but no. Number three. Now, number three, you would expect to be some mega marketing machine. You guys want to hear number three? Because I brought it.
You brought it? Okay.
Well, let me hear it, Tony.
Charlie bit me.
So what we're looking here is two babies. A baby with his baby brother biting his finger.
Here it is. Charlie bit my finger again. But Charlie bit me. 225 million views.
Right. So that's what it takes. That's what it takes to run third runner up to Justin Bieber is Charlie bit my fucking finger. Some little British kid. Charlie bit my finger. Oh, Charlie. Charlie, would you bite Justin Bieber's head off for me, please? I love it. I fucking love it. There is justice in this world that marketing can't beat Charlie.
Fucker.
I need a song.
Need a song? I got a song for you.
All right, what do you got?
Even though this might make Paul have a hemorrhage, I'm going to do a Guns N' Roses song.
Ooh. Yeah, that's controversial. Mm. And in the news this week.
Oh.
Play it.
Let's.
What do you got?
I got a song called You're Crazy. And this is a song that was on Appetite for Destruction, which in my opinion is the hardest rocking album of all time.
You know, you talk about a debut, you know, fucking first album. Was this their,
yeah.
I mean.
This was their first album, Appetite for Destruction.
So for all our audience, Ed and Matt and Jim, they'll know what I mean. When Jeff Belmont and Omar Bernstein said, you've got to listen to this album, I didn't believe them. And I put that fucking album on and it blew my fucking mind for a year.
I agree. I mean, for say anything you want to about hair bands and sanity, Kurt Cobain fights and all that shit, this album is listenable at the minimum.
Yeah.
And at its best, it's fucking, dare I say brilliant? It shows.
Dare you!
I've been told
say
by.
Say it, dude. It's fucking brilliant.
It's
brilliant.
No, I want to hear Tony say it.
All right, so anyways. What do you have off of this album?
Okay.
Wait. Can we at least concur that everything after this album was bullshit?
Yes.
Okay, because you guys
mostly,
know and I don't.
Mostly.
All right.
With a caveat, because the song I'm bringing is called You're Crazy, off Appetite for Destruction.
Okay.
Hard rocking song. But they did the same song on Lies. Like a little crappy little album that they did with like four acoustic numbers. And like four live numbers.
Yep.
And one of the songs they did the acoustic version was You're Crazy. And I really like the bluesy kind of version on Lies. But we're going to stick with the rockin' version here. This is Lies from Appetite for Destruction.
This song is that in this song and in this album you can already see the unraveling of Axl Rose. Like you can see the fragility of his mind coming apart. And once he tries to get serious is when he fucking frags out.
Fucking crazy right there. Just a fucking evil maniac guy, you know? Same thing happened to David Lee Roth.
Wasn't he a fuck up by
Well
Paul?
No, because David Lee Roth, I mean, agreed that the David Lee Roth's ego couldn't even scratch the nuts of Axl's ego.
I don't know, man. Van Halen with David Lee Roth lasted for all of one really good album.
But David Lee Roth in 1976 could have walked in any bar in America and within 30 seconds had a woman sucking his dick.
Just because he was David Lee Roth? Because
they were the most popular band probably in 1975 in America.
Van Halen was around in 75?
That's when the album
was
released.
Started.
Holy That's when
fuck,
Van
I
Halen,
didn't know that.
The album, was released.
I didn't know
so
that.
You had Aerosmith, the Rolling Stones.
I thought
Stones,
they were a product
Van
of 81.
See, the first Van Halen album is one of the best albums ever. And so is this one, Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. Just like from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a band that's been out touring for 8 years, and they saved up all of their best material and put it on one album.
In a sports analogy, it's like hitting a grand slam to the bottom of the ninth grand slam on your fucking first at bat as a rookie.
Okay.
And that's it.
So hold on a second then. When does Jump, Van Halen Jump, come into play?
Oh, that was
later.
Gay-ass MTV
gay
shit.
Shit.
So there was Van Halen before that?
Yes.
Are you serious? Are you doing this for like effect?
Have you not?
I'm dead nut serious.
Have you heard the first of Van Halen?
No! I thought it started with Jump!
Atomic Punk and Ice Cream Man and all that shit?
Seriously?
You haven't heard that shit?
Swear to God, no.
Alright.
Oh, there you go. go. That's your
fucking
Oh, stop.
That's for you, Omar.
So what'd you guys think of that?
I liked it. It brought me back.
Okay, so Paul, why is Axl and the group in the news this week?
Well. It just so happens.
Played a little show in?
In Dublin, Ireland. And it just so happens that even though 20 years ago or so, they were a very popular band, I'm not quite sure they're so popular anymore.
No. Well, because they're not a fucking... Guns N' Roses does not exist, right? I mean, No. They're basically a Guns N' Roses tribute band that happens to have Axl Rose in it, right? I mean, come on! Who is the fucking bass player? Duff McCleary?
He's at...
Duff...
Duffy? Duff?
Wait. Duff. He's the fucking bass player. Gone. That Izzy fucking hairy pubic hair motherfucker?
Izzy Stratlin was the rhythm guitar.
Yep.
Slash
is off doing other shit like MTV.
Dave and I were talking earlier. If fucking Axl Rose had Slash agreed to tour with him, then I would say that's Guns N' Roses.
All you need is two of the five or whatever.
If you have Axl Rose and
whoever the
Slash
fuck was the drummer on this album, on the Appetite for Destruction album,
long gone.
He was long gone. He was after this album. He was gone.
You've said many times, though, drummers are a dime a dozen, right? Especially ones that stay with their mom at home or something.
Yeah.
No, but this drummer made the band.
Just call Matt White, it'll be
this drummer made this album so fucking
Yeah, open up that rock. Open that compact disc and those liner notes. See, kids, you get paper and you get to open a little book when you buy a compact disc.
Okay, Axl Rose / Izzy Stratlin, Duff
McKeegan.
Steve Adler was the
Steve
drummer.
Steve Adler. I'd be interested to hear because...
And they replaced Steve Adler with the drummer from fucking a really big band for the Use Your Illusion crap.
Yep.
Do you remember who that was? It was a big-name drummer from...
The Dick Fat All-Star Band.
Oyster Cult
Blue
something?
Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult.
I was close.
Is that who
it
was?
Yeah.
Oh,
really? So basically... Is it Steve Adler? Do we say that Steve Adler is the catalyst that made those guys the shit? And once he's gone, the magic is gone?
I'm biased towards Slash.
All right. No, I'm with you on that, for sure.
You don't have
well,
Slash.
Well, see,
I think
the fucking drums and the rhythm guitar and stuff drive that shit. And Slash just kind of put some kind of pretty stuff on top.
Hand me that fucking piece of paper again. Who wrote this shit? That sometimes gets to the bottom of this. Who the fuck wrote these goddamn songs? Blah, blah, blah. All songs written and performed by Guns N' Roses. The fuck good does that do us?
Yeah. And seriously, who the fuck cares? Let's get back to the Dublin.
Who
matter.
Fucking cares?
So what happened in Dublin?
Oh, he's going for it.
Yeah,
let's let him
he's
go. Come
now.
On.
No, if it's like saying, oh, who cares who wrote the Rolling Stones song? Like, you know, Keith Richards didn't make any difference to the band. He fucking wrote the music. Right? He and Mick Jagger wrote the music. I was thinking if Slash wrote it, fuck the drummer. Just hire a goddamn drummer, make him fucking play the drums. It's not like a drummer sat around and go, oh, I got an idea. You know, he's not writing the fucking music. What's he, Phil Collins or something? Some brilliant... I couldn't say something funny. I was trying to make a joke about Genesis or something, and I couldn't think of one. Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Drummer, I'm like...
I'm with you.
The drummer drives it, but it's like saying he didn't build the fucking car. He's just driving the goddamn car.
Yeah, but like in Appetite for Destruction, the drummer's going... all this crazy shit.
The
and
drummer.
Then with the new drummer, it's like...
Well, they got a shitty drummer. But where do you read in liner notes it says, all fucking songs conceived of and written by the drummer?
I don't. But I'm telling you, the rhythm... The rhythm of this album is what drives it, and that's...
And the rhythm was probably conceived of by fucking Axl Rose and Slash.
I doubt it.
I didn't hear
it.
Look it, just it says,
up. I will right. Look it up.
All right,
Pause.
All right.
Look it up.
All right. All
it turned right. into a gayer band without that drummer. It was gayer.
What is going on here?
Why did this come to a screeching halt?
Because he's looking up who the fuck wrote Slash's music
I
for.
I found the shit I'm looking for after saying I wouldn't find it. And
Google
I'm just wondering what the fuck's going on with
Google who the fuck
shit
wrote Slash's
and...
music.
Who wrote the music on Appetite for
Destruction? Whoa! It seems according to Wikipedia.
Wait. We have to cut this
Let me sip a little whiskey before I answer.
Everyone waiting? Okay, we gotta get serious. This sets in serious.
This is very delicious whiskey my mother and father gave me. I'm now ready to answer the question.
as to whether or not Appetite for Destruction was written by all members, some of the members, or just a few of the members. It turns out that Appetite for Destruction was written by all members of the band. They had produced the songs individually and then provided them to each member for each member to review. Upon consensus, they then continued to produce a complete full album. And upon conclusion of the recording of the album, they then made a copy of the album en masse and sold it to consumers and received rave reviews for a wonderful album. That concludes my review of Wikipedia's review of Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses.
Yay!
Oh, my stomach hurts so bad.
Oh, my God. Dude, are you going to throw up?
I don't know.
I need a beer.
Okay.
I need a beer.
Oh, all right, are we ready to take a break?
Where did that come from?
Yes.
All right. Would you fucking talk about the Dublin show, please?
Oh.
What is the Dublin show?
The Dublin show apparently took place a day or two ago. That being September 1st, and Guns N' Roses apparently is touring. At least the band, we said, like the karaoke band. With
right, right, the
Axl
tribute
Rose.
Band.
The tribute
that is
band.
Axl Rose and a bunch of douchebags.
Right.
Now, this is for their, they have a new album. Or
do they?
Or there's a new Guns N' Roses album out.
Who cares, all right? Let's get to the point. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to diss
no,
you.
No, that's fine.
Democracy.
The fucking point is...
What a stupid title.
Fucking point is, they fucking played in Dublin, Ireland the other night, and they were 3 fucking hours late to get on stage, and the crowd was fucking pissed.
The first thing you don't do is mess with Irish people, period.
Mm-hmm.
They'll fuck you.
And they have bottles in their hands quite
right.
often.
Right. Oh, dude, they're born with bottles in their hands, man. Seriously.
They were drunk at 10 in the morning.
Right. So this, these, and I don't know, whatever. I can't imagine it's Irish teenagers going to see this shite.
No.
I mean, this is going to be surly, rough Irish middle-agers, all right?
Yes.
Whoever. So they show up 3 hours late for this show. Apparently, you know, they were supposed to go on at 9, and they went on somewhere around 11, and the opening band had stopped at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So should we just play the tape?
Yeah. Yeah,
they basically, Paul, describe it while I cue it up.
Okay, it's not... Yeah, yeah. Apparently, whoever the guitarist is started playing the intro riff to Welcome from the Jungle. And Axl Rose I don't think he had taken the stage yet, and people started booing. And then he got on stage, I think, after a minute or two, and people started throwing beer bottles at him. And he stopped, and he told the crowd, you know, cut the shit, or we're going to walk off stage. And they didn't cut the shit, and he did go off stage.
About this is that you got this douchebag guitar player that is teasing Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah.
Oh, should I play it? No, let me put my hand in my ear and hear you yell louder. These people are pissed. Oh, he wasn't stopping because...
Was Axl Rose on stage yet? I couldn't tell from the video.
No, but this guy is teasing Welcome to the Jungle like 10 times.
Yeah. Crowds
and
in a fucking
he's basically
fury.
Fucking whipping them into a fury. They're already yelling "fuck you" at this point.
Yeah.
That's just...
You're in the jungle, baby. One more bottle, we go home.
It's up to you. We would like to stay. You want us to stay? We want to stay. We want to have some fun. If you don't want to have fun, all you got to do is let us know, and we got no problem. We'll go on our way.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this old fucker. Listen to him.
Kids, do you want me to stop this car? Because I'm 40 years old, and I'll stop this car, okay?
Seriously, if this was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, he would have jumped into this stage, and he would have been hell-bent for leather. But listen to this old fucker.
He said, if you want me to stay, I'll stay. I want to have some fun. Do you want to have some fun? Yeah, fucking stay there. I want to throw more bottles at your goddamn face.
GG, I'd love to have some fun with you at this point, guys.
Axel, fucking A, man. What happened to you? Okay, let me cue it up again.
Start over.
Technical difficulties, right. Technically, Axel is an asshole.
And he's difficult to work with.
Sorry. Hello? Please, if you can hang on just for a moment. Sincere apologies about this. Okay, we're trying hard to get Axel to come back on stage. You please to refrain from throwing items at him. I promise you a great show.
I would ask you
refrain from throwing items at him.
To please refrain from throwing your shite at the singer.
He said items, right? Now, it's just someone saying, like, does a pencil count? What sort of items?
Can I throw something soft at him?
Exactly.
Drat, he said all items, so I can't throw any...
He did say items, that is plural. How about I just throw one item at him?
Right. So, yes. So, apparently, after this, okay, this goes on. The house lights come on, right, Dave? I mean, that's right. What I heard that radio interview, too. The house lights came on.
And almost everybody left.
70% of the crowd leaves. 45 minutes later, Axel retakes the stage.
After his meds kicked in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And plays until 1:30 in the morning.
What?
Right. Now, prior to this, you know the small little festival, Reading Festival?
Yes.
Prior to this, the week before, he had fucked up the entire Reading schedule by showing up an hour and a half late for that show. What the fuck are they thinking throwing the Guns N' Roses tribute band on the Reading schedule in the first place?
But they have a history of this. Like, Axl has a history of this. Even, like, back in the days when they were, like, with Appetite for Destruction. Don't you guys remember, like, shows where they would walk off stage because Axl was too drunk or too pissed off?
Yeah, that's one thing. But, I mean, I heard my dad on that stage. Listen, y'all, if you want to have some fun, let's have some fun and don't throw things at me. Dude, if he was any sort of rock and roll motherfucker, he would have took it in the head. I mean, they were splashing water on him. Right. Look at the YouTube video, guys. They're splashing water on him.
I saw in Lollapalooza, like, 1991, that the final act of the night was Red Hot Chili Peppers, and we were somewhere in Rhode Island, and people started ripping down the wooden fence and starting bonfires all randomly throughout the crowd. And Anthony Kiedis never said a fucking word. The fucking fire chief interrupted the song, you know, came on stage and told everyone to cut the shit. But it wasn't Grandpa Anthony telling everyone to cut the shit.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what he'd do nowadays, but Grandpa Axel apparently doesn't want us driving the car so fast and all that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I have personally hit Gavin Rosdale. Gavin Rosdale?
Rossdale, I think.
Gavin Rossdale. I have personally hit Gavin Rossdale in the crotch with a ball of mud this big at the first, Lollapalooza, at the first Edge Fest, the 93X Edge Fest. He didn't even fucking flinch. His testicles didn't even retract into his lower abdomen. Wow. He just kept playing because
Gwen Stefani had him at home.
Yeah, Gwen's.
Well, it's like Mr. Bungle. When you saw them, they were like on stage and they were thrown at them.
They were tortured.
But they were insane.
But the minute you acknowledge the torture, you're opening yourself up to it. And especially if you're a douchebag like Axl Rose.
Yeah.
Wow. Stop the show. Okay, maybe he could have got away with that in China or Japan or Vietnam, where they are maybe a more mellow crowd and a more respecting crowd. But the Irish... Fuck you! Now we go to Target. Oh, what is he thinking? Okay,
now
don't you understand, Irish? Now I've got to Target. Got.
I thought you were trying to get a new sponsor.
Yeah, you've got a Target.
Okay. Fuck Guns N' Roses. Now let's go to Target and shop. David and I looked at each other. What the fuck is he talking about?
That's what I thought he was talking about.
Now I got me a Target. So let me translate that for you.
Fuck Chili Peppers, let's go to Walmart.
Basically, when the crowd is booing you and you say, okay, let's just start the fucking song, which is kind of what he said. Okay, go again. There, you are singled the fuck out. I mean, oh, God.
So may I ask him to foreshadow future shows, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Is Guns N' Roses... Well, currently, they're not cool or badass, but was the original Guns N' Roses cool?
Yes.
Were they badass?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, and now it's just a shell. It's just a video game version.
Oh, yeah, I mean, too much douchebaggery. Yeah. Everybody cool in the band is gone. Yeah. I mean, everybody's gone except for Axl.
Right. So, he was badass and cool, but he's such a dickbag.
I wouldn't say badass and cool because you need certain qualifications to be a badass and to be cool.
He was mental at the time.
You're throwing right.
Just mentally unstable, which is cool. It comes.
He may have
cool,
gotten his badass reputation from being mental, but early on they were badass.
All right, I'm tired of talking about Guns N' Roses.
Fuck
Guns N' Roses.
I'm starting to sober up just a little bit.
Okay,
I want to play a song. Right. I brought L7. Ooh. Do you remember Crazy Unstable Girls on Punk?
I don't.
Well, that was actually Babes in Toyland. L7 was the cleaned up version of them.
Yes.
So, L7, right? What are they from?
All I know is they had one gay-ass MTV song.
L7 is the LA grunge band, and I know LA and grunge don't go quite the same, but I don't think they're punk. And you know why I don't think they're punk? People said that L7 is a punk band, right? Do you know what L7 is, Dave? Are you?
I've never heard of L7.
Let's pretend that we're dead.
Yeah, that's what it is.
They had a radio hit early 90s. I don't remember which album it was off of, but it was during the grunge era, you know, the 19...
Soundgarden, Nirvana era.
Right. But these guys are actually from L.A. They are produced by Butch Vig for their biggest album, Bricks Are Heavy. And Butch Vig, the king of everything that is overtracked guitars. He is the one who did Nirvana Nevermind, Smashing Pumpkins, all that shit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh. So he produces these guys in 1992 after he works with Smashing Pumpkins and Butch Vig's thing.
After Nirvana and all that stuff?
Yeah. Okay. So L7 is an all-girl band out of L.A. They get the grunge sound kind of through Butch Vig.
Oh, sorry.
All-girl band. Oh.
All-girl
band.
Well,
now you mentioned they're all girls.
Apparently one of them is kind of hot, too.
Dude, they're all hot. I swear to God they're all hot.
And are they talented?
Yes, they are actually talented.
Okay.
So, L7.
Fuckable and talented.
Well, now, come on. So, anyways.
I love it.
They derive their name. Watch me do the loser sign as an L and then do the 7 sign. See how I make a square? Ooh. Thus, we come up with the 50s slang. L7 is 50s slang for loser, for square.
Ooh.
See how I make a square?
Square peg, square pegs.
There you go. So, your little bit of history with the 50s slang. L7, 1992, Bricks Are Heavy, we got Shit List.
Suck my
Can you hear the Nirvana?
Dick.
Can you hear the Nirvana?
I can hear Butch Vig.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Anything he touched was gold back
then.
That's
a good sound.
Right. Yeah.
In her voice. The Beavis in her voice.
The Beavis in her... Is it the Corn Julio you mean? Or...
Yeah, she's the chocolate. L7. So
there you go.
My complaint about L7, or the reason I've never totally dug into them, is because I feel like they come from LA and they were classified as a punk band, but I kind of feel like LA took some grunge and sort of rubbed it off on them and said, hey, here you go. We got all girl grunge.
So was this like 92, 93?
This album, the Butch Vig album, was 93.
Okay, so that's about the time frame I was in LA. Like 92, 93 is when I was in LA. And when I was there, you go to bars and there'd be like hair metal bands.
Yeah, 92, 93?
Yeah.
Did they not like hear of Soundgarden and Nirvana?
Right. It was exactly like the stuff you saw on the street was way behind what you hear on the radio.
Weird.
You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird. So the clubs would switch over slower than the radio.
I didn't go to a lot of shows.
That's weird, yeah.
But the shows I did go see, you know, in like the local clubs and stuff, it was all hair metal shit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so anybody who sounded like that would sound kind of progressive.
Is that right?
Huh. You know, it's weird. I'm scrubbing through the Let's Pretend We're Dead video. Ugh. And you can see, I know, it's awful. That's why I have the volume off. But you can see that these are Barbie doll chicks dressed up as rocker girls. And you can see this blurry image here of this pause here. She's got a flannel shirt on. So you go totally Kurt Cobain grunge. Hey, well, yeah. Barbie, put on some makeup and some Tough Riot Girl shit and put on some glass sunglasses.
Yeah. So they were probably like a hair metal band that someone threw some grunge on.
I wouldn't say a hair metal band. They were a punk band. They were a punk band. So
hair metal and punk are pretty close.
Hair metal and punk are close?
No, they're not.
Not even.
They're not?
Depends what you mean by punk.
Well, if you go true classic fucking like... I'm just going to say no.
Okay.
I don't agree with
you. Well, I don't know much about punk.
Poison is not Black Flag.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
Black Flag is punk.
That's another ball game, yeah.
Right.
Black Flag is the American West Coast version of punk.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But these girls are closer to Poison than they are to Black Flag.
I'd give you that.
Okay. But again, now I don't know of what, you know, what music they were playing up to this point, but just the fact that they're wearing flannel shirts says that somebody got a hold of them and dolled them up just a little bit. But I don't think they're a complete fab band.
Yeah, but you can see that they were closer to a hair metal band before someone took them and grunged them up. You know what I mean? Than an actual punk band, I would say.
I don't know. It's what tough to say. I think we're all talking a little out of our league, but I'll give you a little of that.
I'm not out of our league. We just don't fucking know because no one gives a shit about L7.
That's true. I mean, once they get into the rotating members after the fucking mid-90s.
We haven't done any homework on although them, really. We just don't care.
You got to give them some credit. They're still together in the early 2000s, right? And in 99, they put out an album that flops miserably. Hugely flops. And they rent airplanes with banners. What do you call those? Skywriters, whatever. Airplanes with banners, and they have Lilith Fair in Pasadena, California, in 99. They rent an airplane to fly around banners over Lilith Fair that says, "Bored? Try some L7." And then, like a week later, over in Jersey, they fly airplanes over the Warped Tour that says, "Warped needs more Beaver. Love L7." Come on, that's at least...
That's good. That's original.
Yeah, that's original, and it's a little bit punk. I mean, that's attitude.
Dude, let's end this. I got a good nugget here from Wikipedia.
What you got?
Related to all the Guns N' Roses shit. Controversy, L7. The band gained a certain amount of notoriety for their performance at the 1992 Reading Festival when Danita Sparks removed her used tampon on stage and threw it into the crowd yelling, "Eat my used tampon, fuckers!" in protest against the mud being thrown by the crowd.
Yeah!
This has been referred to as one of the most unsanitary pieces of rock memorabilia.
Dude, that's better than fucking a fish sandwich, man, in the fucking 70s.
Yes, I agree.
Anita!
All right. I got nothing else. I will mention that I'm on the Butch Vig kick. I like multi-tracked guitars. I like going from clear channel to mega. Boom, big sound, all right? I like the Butch Vig. I'm on a Butch Vig kick.
Yep.
I would challenge you, Paul, to find me a producer better than that man.
Didn't I fucking bring up Rick Rubin during The Horseman?
Yeah, I don't know.
Remember the back of it? Rick Rubin.
The bands that could have been. Okay.
You mean the guy who ruined the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's also the guy that ruined the
Horseman. Big, heavy, grunge, power chord type. He's got a certain sound, too.
He's but the Run DMC, Def Jam Records. Okay.
Yeah, when you got Run DMC meeting Aerosmith, I think that was Rick Rubin.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I may have to succumb to this, but future podcast.
That's a Cindy Crawford, Elle McPherson debate. Who the fuck cares? You know, either one of them is great.
Oh, I was thinking Cindy Lauper, because I wouldn't have sex with Cindy Lauper.
My guy analogy, that's all.
Good call. All right, so who's got a song to take us out?
Well, I have one by a band called The Roots.
Excellent!
Yes.
Is this the band that plays on the Jimmy Fallon show?
You know, it actually is. I didn't mean it to be that one. It's actually just a band that's been around, I think, since shit early 90s or so. They got several albums. And this one in particular is a fabulous summer song. And this is the end of summer. I want to go out with it just as we are going out with our summer here. But what's fascinating to me is there's a bit in the song where I think I hear the word motherfucker. There's a bitch, there's a god dang, there's a son of a gun, there's a shit, and I think there's a motherfucker, but some lyrics I saw online say something like my lover instead of motherfucker, and I don't know which one's right. So I would like your opinion as we listen.
The Roots have been around for a fucking long time.
Yeah.
I saw them in college.
Well, you know, by definition, and this is kind of where the show has gone wrong,
mm-hmm.
by definition, profanity isn't obscenity. Profanity is what? Just something that suggests or implies terrible off-color things?
Yes. We should visit that in a future episode.
We should resolve that. We should resolute that in a future podcast.
Okay. How about we'll talk about it?
Okay, next episode, we got to talk about...
We have to define the ground rules.
We got to revisit what is... profane.
Yeah. Yes, profanity or obscenity. We gotta set the ground rules for this podcast. Yeah. So, hey guys, we're gonna up the ante. What's the name of this song, Paul?
The Seed.
The what?
The Seed.
The what?
S-E-E-D.
What?
The Seed.
S-E-E-E-D. Who can get on me and pee?
Cue it up, queers.
Knocked up, knocked up.
guys seen the Jimmy Fallon show?
Is that me? Come on. It got to you?
Where did that come from?
I don't know. It was just like a 3 out of 10 scale fart. Yes, I've seen the Jimmy Fallon show.
You could tell by watching the show, the drummer is the leader of the band.
Oh, you're coming back at me with some drummer stuff, huh?
Well, can you...
I suppose... Do you agree? You know you can hear it here.
What cues do you get from a drummer that indicates he's the leader of the band?
He's the guy who talks.
Oh, to Jimmy?
Yes.
If you're talking to Jimmy...
If you're talking to Jimmy, you're the man. But the drummer was the same guy I saw when I saw him in 1990. The singer was different. And I think, I don't know about the guitar player and all that other stuff. But the thing that remained the same in the Roots is the drummer. The legacy I leave behind, be the seed that'll keep the flame. I don't ask for much, but enough room to spread these wings. And the world finna know my name. I don't dare.
Push my seed in her bush for life. It's gonna work because I'm pushing it right.
I can't wait to edit that.
If Mary dropped my baby girl tonight, I would name her Rock and Roll. For you.
So, everybody go out and buy some Roots music, all right? Make those people rich. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this shitty podcast. Next time we broadcast, hopefully it will be in the reconditioned tree fort in neighbor Paul's backyard. Until then, you got anything to say, email us, musicswearby@gmail.com. Tell a friend, make us rich, send us money. Pardon the profanity.
Bitches! Gayer.